Hallelujah. God is so good to us. So it is Mother's Day. It's a special day. Like Shelley was saying, where would we be without mothers? Glory to God. I want to read you something I found a little bit humorous to start out. It says, sign for the bathroom door. This is from the mom. Attention everyone, the bathroom door is closed. Please do not stand there and talk, whine, or ask questions. Wait until I get out. Yes, it is locked. I want it that way. No, it is not broken. I am not trapped. I know I have left it unlocked, and even open at times since you were born, because I was afraid some horrible tragedy might occur while I was in there. But it's been 10 years, and I want some privacy. Do not ask me how long I will be. I will come out when I'm done. Do not bring the phone to the bathroom door. Do not go running back to the phone yelling, she's in the bathroom. Do not begin to fight as soon as I go in. Do not stick your little fingers under the door and wiggle them. This was only funny when you were two. Do not slide pennies, Legos, or notes under the door. Even when you were two, this got a little tiresome. If you followed me down the hall talking and are still talking as you face this closed door, please turn around, walk away, and wait for me in another room. I will be glad to listen to you when I'm done. Oh, and yes, I still love you. Mom. I thought that was funny. I'm not a mom, but I can appreciate it living in the house as I have done with four kids. So, I wanted to read you a couple other ones that are a little bit more on a serious note. But this was from George Washington, attributed to George Washington. He said, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education that I received from her. John Abbott said, mothers have as powerful an influence over the welfare of future generations as all other earthly causes combined. Barbara Bush, First Lady Barbara Bush, said this, whatever the times, one thing will never change. Fathers and mothers, if you have children, they must come first. Your success as a family, our success as a society, depends not on what happens in the White House, but what happens inside your house. Charles Spurgeon said, I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother. Kate Semperi said, before becoming a mother, I had 100 theories on how to bring up a child. Now I have 7 children and only one theory. Love them, especially when they least deserve to be loved. And one more, Oliver Wendell Holmes said, youth fades, love droops, the leaves of friendship fall, a mother's secret hope outlives them all. Today I just want to focus for a few moments on speaking over your children, specifically to mothers. But the words we say, doesn't matter if they're in home with you, or, I mean, of course that's very impactful, but even as they've grown, are so powerful, the words that we speak over our children. But I specifically am speaking to mothers today. Let's go ahead and... Well, before we go, let's look on your sheet there. We'll turn to another scripture in a moment. But look at Mark 11:22, a little bit further, about halfway down your sheet. Mark 11:22. We've been talking about this on Wednesday nights, just that we can have what we say. This is our text. But I want to talk a little bit about words this morning in relation to mothers and children. Mark 11:22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Verse 23 says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, this has a lot of applications, but you specifically, we can, whatever we say in our own lives, that's what's going to go. It doesn't matter what somebody else says about us in general. It's what we say. However, especially when we're dealing with children, what you say as their mother greatly, greatly impacts their lives, for better or for worse. What we speak over them that they hear, and what we speak over them that they don't hear. We want to line up with what the Word of God says and speak positive, God-filled or God-inspired, God words, what the Bible would tell us to say about our children, what God has to say about them, about their future, about their character, about their decisions. We want to surround, and this probably won't be the last time I say this, this day, but we want to surround them with faith and love. Surround them with faith and love. And those are the two things we're going to focus on today. Faith. To have faith means you don't necessarily know or see everything in front of you that you're believing, right? Or it's not faith. If I said, I believe that this chair is sitting here, I believe it with all my heart. I have great faith. That doesn't, you'd look at me and go, okay, Jim, you all right today? Did you have, what did you have for breakfast? Did you have a bad egg or, you know, spoiled milk? I mean, what'd you do? Yeah, I believe too. That's not belief. That's, you know. Now, an example of this would be the fact that these drums are sitting here. Now, you've heard me talk about we're going to have these. And we're going to have people to play this. We're going to have a building like this. Then we're going to have a band. But they're here, and this was the first day that somebody was on those drums. And I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a bass player. And there's going to be guitar players. But you don't see them. And you didn't see this either, right? I didn't see it. But that's believing. Because not just pulling something out. Because I believe that's the direction God's leading us. And I believe that's His word to us. So that I can with confidence say, this will be. Doesn't matter if you don't see it. That's what faith is. But now it's here. Now if I were to say, I believe these drums are sitting here. Same thing. Well, okay, good. Anybody that has eyes can see that. That's not faith. That's not faith. That's, you know, it's obvious, right? But there's no bass player. There's no guitar player. Now, I don't know the timing of everything. I don't know what comes first. But I'm telling you, we'll build those out. But they're not there. That's faith. Okay? When we talk about our children, we're tempted so much to say what we see. Right? And if you focus on only what you see, number one, we're dealing with a human being in progress. We're all in progress, right? But you're dealing with the very beginnings. Moms, when you see that baby initially, they lay that little girl or boy on your chest, you first see him. You don't know by sight what they're going to look like when they're 20. Do you? But you just see what they look like now. And you know, if they're like my kids, I mean, maybe their face is all scrunched up at this point. You know, it takes a while for them to kind of expand back to normal. But, you know, you look at their baby face at 3 months and 6 months and 9 months or whatever, and you're like, gosh, I wonder what they're going to look like when they're older. Well, it's just going to be a bigger version of what they're looking at, but it's hard to picture it, isn't it? It's like, all they see is this little baby. I don't know. Or, you know, a one-year-old, two-year-old toddler. What are they going to look like? Because their head's growing, their eyes are growing. What are they going to look like when they're 13, 14, 18, 20? Well, it's real easy. I remember one of our friends at Rhema, this lady that had some children. We were talking about this very thing. You know, we go over to their house, and they had these little pictures of of their kids when they're little. And she was talking about, you know, you wonder what they're going to look like. Well, they're just going to look like a big version of what they are there. And here we would see their kids as babies. You're like, yeah, you can see that's such and such, and that's their little scrunched up face, and now it's older. You could see the resemblances there, but you don't know. You can't, you don't know what they're going to look like. And in the same fashion, we see them and all the potential in them, but we don't see in front of us what they're going to look like as a solid adult. And they may look, and their behavior may look like they're never going to get there at times. Huh? You look like, really? You made that decision. And I'm not, I mean, this is just universal. I love my kids and I have great kids, but we're all kids. I mean, we all did that to our parents. Y'all look and go, really, kid? You did that? I remember some things I did to my parents. I look back and go, oh, now I understand what I did to my parents at that point, right? We're all there. What does it take when you look at a child and you don't see with your natural eyes what the Word of God says? This goes for all of us in general, but we're talking about children. You need to walk in faith and with our words, specifically with our children, when it doesn't look like, when the finished product is not there, when you're, it may look in front of you like, wow, if you were going by what you saw, you'd think, don't know where this is going. But we surround them with, number one, faith and love. We say, you're going to turn out great. You're going to be a godly young man. When you talk about your child, he is strong. She is strong. She is a godly woman. She is solid and stable. He is going to be a strong, capable young man. He is growing into the plan, in the plan that God has for him or her. That's speaking godly words. Let's turn over to Romans 4. Moms, you have such an influence over your children. Your words that come out of your mouth. Faith is not in an instant. Faith is constant. Faith is not, well, I feel really good about what the Word says today, so I'm just going to spew out a whole bunch of words over my kid that is really good now, and I hope they stick. Because tomorrow, when I'm not looking, it doesn't look good, then I'm going to speak a bunch of other words. So faith is not up and down and left and right. Now, I'm not saying we have to be perfect in everything. What I am saying is we ought to realize the power of your words. Ladies, you have such a power over your children and over where they go in life. I think more than we even realize. Of course, we naturally understand a mother and influence over a child to a degree, but there is a spiritual influence there. You are setting an example, and then you are speaking with your words. Not just what you say when they're not there, but what you say in front of them. You're saying, and your words are powerful, and we ought to make sure. We ought to strive. Again, not that we're perfect in it. We've all made mistakes in our words. But that we ought to know that, wait a minute, those words coming out of my mouth, they may be ringing for decades. Now that could be sobering. But we ought to look at it as in fear, and the negative side, let's look at it as on the positive as well. Those words that you speak out that are positive, that you said, yes, son, you can do this. You know how to do this. Yes, daughter, you're beautiful. Those can ring in their heads for decades and carry them on and strengthen them in this, in the face of some circumstance that doesn't look good. They can be hearing your words say, you can do this. Now ultimately their source has to be God, has to be the Lord. But we as parents, you as mothers, are influencing and directing them somewhere. You're pointing them somewhere, and you never stop doing this. Even if the children have left the house, you're still an influence. You're still speaking words. You're still speaking words between you and your spouse. You're still speaking words in their presence. And God is our role model. God is our example in this. And let's look at what he says, how he approaches circumstances. Romans 4, verse 17, we can go to 16, it says, therefore it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, we've been focusing on this in general on Wednesdays a lot, but in this context, now here the Bible is talking about Abraham. Who was Abram? Abram was childless. Sarah's wife was childless, was up in age, past the age of childbearing, and God came and said, you are going to have a son. You are going to have children. Many children. And in the natural, what Abram at this point could see, he didn't see any way this could happen. God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations, and he called him that. Every time somebody came up and called Abraham, they called him Abraham, they were saying, you're a father of many nations. It doesn't look like that at all. But God said, you're going to have offspring. You're going to have many, many people that are going to call you their ancestor. But it did not look like it at all. It didn't look like that was possible. But this is the way God operates. The end of verse 17 says, in the presence of him whom he believed, who Abraham believed, God, and this is a characteristic of God, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Thank God he does this. We're to emulate him when it comes to our children. Ladies, your words are to emulate God's words according to your children. When it comes to your children, it may look like they're never going to turn around in a given area. It may look like they're on the path that looks like they're going to hit a brick wall. But God never gives up on anybody. And our children, as they're growing, we don't go by what we see. God didn't go by what he saw. He didn't say, oh, yeah, you're past the age of childbearing. Sorry, I can't help you. He is the Almighty. And if he said, you're going to be the father of many nations, Abraham just had to say, yes, sir. Okay, I agree with that. It wasn't up to Abraham to make it happen. God's power is going to make it happen. What Abraham's job and Sarah's job was to receive it and get in line with it. Our job as parents is not to side against our children. Moms, it's not to side against them when they do something dumb for the 10th time. And you know you've told them. And you feel like you sound like a broken record. You don't side against them. You side with God and you call those things that be not as though they exist. That's not lying. Now, if you go tell somebody something that's false and try to make them believe it's now, but you speaking over your child, you saying, son, daughter, you are going to be great. You are going to do great things for God. You are going to follow God's plan for your life. You hear the voice of God. You make wise decisions. You make good, well, I don't. I don't know what I'm doing. You make wise decisions. You make good decisions. You're strong. You're handsome. You're beautiful. You're growing up strong. You're growing up wise. When you talk to your spouse, when you talk to your husband, now, it's not that you can't be honest with each other, but don't dwell on the negative. Yes, Johnny did this. Susie did this. But, at school or whatever. But, this is what we're saying over him. She's going to turn out fine. She's doing just fine. She's strong. I see her grow. That's not putting your head in the sand. That's not ignoring. That's doing what God said. He wasn't ignoring what Abraham was dealing with. He said what he knows is greater. And if they'll just agree with him, it'll come to pass. If we'll just agree with God, and you put those words into your son or daughter, and get them to agree, ultimately it's going to be their life. We are just stewards of our children. They are God's children. When they come to him, they are ultimately his children. He knows who will come to him. He has all knowledge. He doesn't force anybody to make a decision, yet he knows. He already knows. He knows what he gives people a free will, but he knows what decision they'll make. It's amazing, but that's the truth. But if we'll agree with him and speak the words over our children and put the right words into them, we are giving God access into their lives. And we were talking about it in announcements. Or right after praise and worship. How praying for somebody else gives God access in their life. Even if they're doing something that they shouldn't, us praying for them gives God legal right to come alongside and help. Well, God can do anything he wants. No, he can't. He has to have a human in this earth to ask him. That's why it took Jesus so long to come to the earth. People said, well, Adam fell. Why wasn't the Savior just come at that point so we didn't have to have all these other people? Just get the Savior done at that point. It had to be spoken in. He had to get humans to agree with him so that his son could come as a virgin. It took time. He had to get people to agree with him because Satan was over this world. And it's the same thing today. God can't just waltz in and say, oh, well, they're good. I'm just going to do what I need to. He needs access. That's why we pray. This is why what we do with our children is so important. We're a gateway. We're a conduit for God's favor and ability to get to them. Maybe it doesn't look like they're doing everything they ought to. Maybe it doesn't look like they're on the right track. But if you turn away, if you say the wrong words, that's one less person, maybe the only person, that's going and speaking on their behalf and asking God and giving him legal right. I'm not talking about begging God. I'm talking about saying and agreeing with what he already wants to do. Giving him the access. Yes, my child will be like this. Yes, and you're giving them you're giving God access. You're speaking words that have power. This is so important. But it's godly. Let's look at let's look on your sheet. Proverbs 15:4. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. You get the picture. A wholesome tongue, a godly tongue, one that agrees with godly principles, with agrees with God's word, is a tree of life. That means life springs from godly words. A child can blossom with godly words spoken, with encouraging words, with words of what they are and who they are in Christ and in the Bible, what they can do. God loves you. God believes in you. God has a plan for you. A 2-year-old, a 3-year-old can get a hold of that, and it can become so real to them that even though as they grow up and things, you know, they have circumstances in their life, that those words echo in their head that, no, but God loves me. But God has a plan for me. These things we set in motion. And moms, you set these things in motion. And it is probably far beyond our understanding to know how much of an impact that has. How much those ring in their being. How many those words that you were speaking as you're rocking them to sleep or getting up for the second or third time in the middle of the night to put them back to bed when they're newborns, or you know they're having trouble sleeping, and how we speak to them and comfort them, or you know when they're older, how we receive a phone call and what we say to them. These things affect people's beings, and a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Can when things are bleak, just add life, and what is it? It's the power of God. It's the influence of God. God's words are anointed. The word of God is anointed, and when we speak that word into a child's life, whether that child is 3 or 30, the power of God is resident there to help them, to clarify things. It's anointed. The Holy Spirit can be there. Things that were muddy can become clear. Maybe they're confused and they talk to you and you speak the word. The Holy Spirit can take that and He can bring it to them and bring clarity to their situation. And not only that, He can bring it back to them then over time because you sowed it, you spoke it to them. And now days later, it can be reverberating in their consciousness and helping. It gives an access point for God to direct them and do all He wants to do from the beginning. But perverseness, the other part of this verse says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Our words are so powerful. Where the words, positive words, can be a tree of life and give that little person just such strength and security. If we allow the opposite for us to side in with what we see or what we feel or to be critical, it can break that person's spirit, their will. And we don't ever want to be that avenue by which Satan has access to hold back our child. And so what we say is important. Let's read this in the Amplified, the classic version of the regular Amplified. So, you know, they have a new Amplified. This is the Amplified that's been around for decades. And the other one's, well, anyway, it's different in a number of ways. A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life, but willful contrariness in it breaks down the spirit. Notice that. A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life. But willful contrariness, something coming on, along the opposite or being like the first verse said, perverse in it, something that wouldn't be wholesome, breaks down the spirit. In the Wycliffe, it says, a pleasant tongue is the tree of life, but the tongue that is unmeasurable or unable to be checked shall defile the spirit. Our words. As soon as we say, "Well, I'm just venting," we just need to be conscious, and then say, "God, help me. I want to be an encouragement. I want to be the tree of life to my child. Help me do it." Because we all know, and we've talked about it on Wednesday, there's a pressure to say negative things to anybody. But you know, your children, it's the same thing. You can get frustrated with them. You can have a stressful day, and we've all fallen in these areas. We've all made mistakes. But it's tempting, because then your child does something that's not quite right, to let the other things that happen in the day affect what comes out of your mouth toward the child. But the fact is that that doesn't end there. It may have just been something that we didn't have a great day, but that those same words can again ring in that person's ears. And this is not to condemn us, because like I said, we've all made mistakes. But to know that, Lord, help me, This is not a light thing. I want to be a conduit of life. I want to be a tree of life. Show me how to do it. Show me how to speak the words. Help me. You said that you would help me in situations, that I would not be tempted beyond what I can bear. I want to speak the godly words over my child. I want to help that child. I want to nurture that child. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Moms, as you are dealing with your child, you are molding and shaping that personality, and so much of your interaction has to do with what we say. Yes, we have nonverbal communication, and that's very, very important. You can say the right thing. If you say, "I love you," that doesn't come off real great. "Oh, you look so pretty today." I mean, that doesn't line up. You know, the tone of your voice, the way you contort your face. So, yes, nonverbal communication is very important, but our words, so much of what's being communicated to our children are through words. And God made that. We don't focus on the negative. The good thing is that, like we're talking about, making sure those words, that we're, by our words, we're surrounding them with faith and love. Let's put it aside that, yes, we may have made mistakes in our words, but let's say, let's purpose, and ladies, purpose in your heart to say, "I'm going to be a conduit of the good, and I am going to be that tree of life. And life and death is in the power of what I say and infuse into my child. And that as I say good, I'm setting them on a track that they will not be easily removed from. I am giving them strength and help. And no matter what it looks like, I purpose in my heart, I'm going to say the right things. I'm going to encourage them with the right things. I'm going to encourage them with the Word of God." Has eternal significance. Thank the Lord. Praise God. So important. Let's look over at 1 Corinthians on your sheet there. So we surround them with faith, believing, and saying what the Word says in the face of something that doesn't look right or look like it's promising, and love, that we encourage. I didn't put the whole verse down here, really focusing on, or the whole passage, but 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, you know, verse 4 through 8, we've read about what love is, and surrounding them with those things. But look at this aspect of love. Everybody there? 1 Corinthians 13, 7. I like this in the Amplified. Excuse me. Love bears up. Excuse me. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. Love walks, love and faith are so close. You walking in love, God is love. And we can't please Him but by walking in faith. And He is a God that calls those things that be not as though they were. So He, in doing that, is in love, in walking in love. And this aspect of love here, and especially when we're talking about children, and ladies specifically, talking about your child. And these verses sum up a lot of what mothers embody in the parents. I mean, this part, mother, even non-believers understand about how a mom loves the child. Mothers in general have something in them that's different than the man, that they'll look at the child and they won't give up on the child regardless if everybody else did. There's something about a mother's love, and that's just in the natural. But how much more a godly mother, knowing her responsibility and her authority from God to help raise this child, and that innate love that she has just to not give up, can be just bolstered, and not just bolstered, put on the solid ground and foundation of the Word of God, so that it's not just a, well, I'm the mom, so I love this person, I sure hope everything works out, to, I am this child's mother, and I have been given a responsibility by God Almighty to put good things into this child, to speak over this child. And as for this one, and as for my responsibility, I am going to surround this child with faith and love, and I will not give up on this child no matter what. I determined to only speak good things and to speak things that line up with the Word of God. And I fully expect my child to grow up into a strong woman of God or man of God, and to follow after God all the days of his or her life. Now, both men and women can, you know, draw from this. Parents can draw from this. But ladies, you have a special place. This is something you excel at anyway, but there is a reason you excel at it, because God put it in you. But being aware of what God has put in you, and purposefully, not just doing it like it's out here, not defined, but focusing it and saying, this is part of my role. This is what I'm to do. Generations will benefit from what I am doing now, and I purpose to line up with God in doing it. That takes it to a whole new level. Now notice what these words say. It says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Does that leave out any circumstance? Anything. What if it looks really, really bad? What if you didn't see it coming? What if you don't understand something? Does that fall into this category? Does it? Love bears up under anything and everything. That covers all circumstance. But love bears up under it, is ever ready to believe the best of every person, let alone our children. How much more our children? How much more your children, ladies? That you have it in you by just innately as a woman, but more as a child of Almighty God. You have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. And so you have it in you, the love of God, which always believes the best of every person. And your children are first and foremost, that you believe the best of them, that you bring it to the forefront, that I will believe the best of you. You make up in your mind from this day forward, I don't care what's happened in the past, I will walk in that love of God. I don't care what my emotions say. I don't care what my sight says. I will be the one advocate on this earth if need be. I mean, of course, there's the father and other people, but as for me, I am going to be a stalwart person that supports and believes in you, and I will believe the best regardless of what I see. That is powerful. Is ever ready. Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. What does that mean? What you expected does not fade, does not dilute one little bit, regardless of what the circumstance is. That means you said, I believe my child is going to be this, and it looks something else. Your hopes are not diluted one little bit. You say, this will still be. And stay there. and it endures. Love endures everything without weakening. You see the theme here. It doesn't move. You see how the faith and love are just hand in hand. Love does not move by what it is not moved by what it sees. Faith is not moved by what it sees. Doesn't matter that it doesn't look good. No, love just is solid. Doesn't do this. Just like this. Going to say the same thing. Going to believe the same thing. Going to be here for you. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. Glory to God. Surround speaking words of faith and love. Speaking over your children. So important. Amen.